So, well, thanks, Peter, for and IPAN for inviting me to such a nice place. All right, let me start my clock. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some work I did with my former student, Kaya Nowak, who is now a faculty at Air Force Institute of Technology. Okay, so today I'm going to present two models. It's actually what we call semi-classroom models, which was aimed to handle quantum barriers. So here I have the first model I call decoherent model, which is based on real Liouville equation. And this model can be applied when you have a quantum barriers. Well, you have more than one barrier that were separated, which means there's no wave interference. But this model is time irreversible. And the second model would be called a coherent model, which is actually based on complex Liouville equation. And the advantage of this model is it allows wave interference, and also it's time reversible. Okay, so the motivation is that basically we want to solve a problem. In a lot of devices, you only have to handle quantum mechanical behavior locally. So in that case, well, for this kind of problem, of course, you can solve the entire problem by quantum mechanics, but it's very expensive. So the idea is that you only want do quantum mechanics locally, and elsewhere you still use classical mechanics. So that's the kind of problem we have in mind. So if you just stick to classical models, usually you miss some key features, so you get the wrong solutions. A lot of quantum information will be missed. But on the other hand, if you just solve the entire problem on quantum mechanics, for example, if you solve the Schrödinger equation, as Peter talked about yesterday, then you have to resolve basically the Planck constant, okay, de Broglie wavelengths. If you don't resolve it, you get the wrong solutions. So there has a lot of numerical analysis study. Basically, you have to resolve the wavelengths. For every wavelength, you need a few grid points. So that's of course very expensive to solve. But on the other hand, I mean, there has some recent work by Ben Abdallah, Gamba, and De Gong where they proposed some classical mechanics and quantum mechanics coupling. But their coupling model is kind of difficult to implement, and actually was never implemented numerically. And they only have one dimension model. All right. So basically, our approach is we want to consider a monoscale method. So this is, of course, is the monoscale coupling. So we want to present a monoscale method, which the cost of this method is basically classical. But we do want to handle a certain quantum phenomena. So that's the idea. All right, so this, of course, is a classical mechanics based on this Newton's second law. Okay, so you have a Hamiltonian system. X is the position of the particle. P is the velocity or momentum. So here, H is Hamiltonian. For classical mechanics, Hamiltonian is basically kinetic energy plus the potential energy. So if you plug this in here, you get F equals ma. So this is F is negative gradient potential. And dp, dt, of course, is just acceleration. So that's Newton's second law. So this is the trajectory. This gives you the trajectory of the particles. So that's basically a Lagrangian description of a classical particle. You can also, if you write the density distribution of the classical particle, which is F, density distribution that depends on time t, space x, and the velocity or momentum p, and then this F satisfies the so-called Liouville equation, which is a phase space equation, depending on x and p. So that's the Eulerian version of this Lagrangian dynamics. Okay. So you can describe the same thing, but with the different pictures here. One is Lagrangian, one is Eulerian. Well, if you want to do quantum mechanics, then of course you have to solve Schrödinger equation, where psi is the complex value of the wave function, and V is the potential, and H bar is the Planck constant. If you want to handle, for example, a mixed state, then you can use the density matrix, where the density matrix solves the Fourier equation. So in Anton's talk yesterday, this was already mentioned. Okay, so once you have the wave function, then you can define once you either have wave function or the, for quantum mechanics, then you can define the so-called physical observables. For example, if you have a if you solve the wave equation, you get the density distribution, and take the moments, you get the position density. Zero's moment gives you position density, and next moment gives you the flux, and second moment gives you energy, and so on. Similarly, for quantum mechanics, once you if you have the wave function, then the modulus wave function gives you the position density, and so on. So these are standard stuff. And to establish connection between quantum mechanics and classical mechanics, you just if you just rescale the Schrödinger equation, then you have a epsilon here instead of h bar. Okay, so you have this small parameter epsilon for this new wave for this von Neumann equation. And then you send this epsilon zero. That's called a semi-classical limit. A nice tool to study the semi-classical limit is to use a Wigner transform, which is defined here. You have seen this a lot yesterday. So basically, you take the Fourier transform on this density matrix. But on the density matrix, you take Fourier transform on y, on this y variable. And then, of course, you end up at a function that depends on t, x, and this Fourier mode, Fourier number p. And this function w satisfies this Wigner equation, which is a transform equation, plus this scattering term, which is a non-local, this pseudo differential operator given by here, where w hat is Fourier transform, and v is the potential. And at this level, you can set epsilon zero. So from here, if you take epsilon zero, then for example, you just do Taylor expansion. Okay, you expand around x, then you get the derivative of v times the y. Then y combined with w hat give you this term here. So the scattering term in semi-classical limit of epsilon goes to zero converge in weak sense to this guy. Then, of course, w, the limit of w, satisfy this Liouville equation. Okay. All right, so that's the transition from quantum mechanics to classical mechanics, which is so-called a semi-classical limit. All right, so now, okay, so based on this connection, I'm going to propose a model for quantum barrier. So this model, of course, is based on the previous model by Bernard Abdallah, Degon, and Gamba, where they, as I mentioned earlier, they have a way to couple classical and quantum mechanics. And also, it's also based on a previous work of myself with Xin Wen, where we have a numerical method to solve basically a classical barrier, where basically it's a Liouville equation with a discontinuous potential. All right, so it's kind of a combination of these two. And the idea is following. The idea is that we basically want this whole solver model is based on a Liouville equation. We solve a Liouville equation locally. And then in the barrier, we have to connect the Liouville equation because the Liouville equation is not valid at the barrier. So you have to connect this Liouville equation using some weak form of the conservation of energy. Okay, so you have to connect the Liouville equation using this constant of Hamiltonian, which basically tells you how the particle cross the barrier. And so then you need a physical relevant interface condition to choose correct. So you have to connect these two F cross barrier by some interface condition. For this model to be valid, we need the following assumption. First, we assume that the barrier width is in order of epsilon. So these are thin barriers. Okay. And distance between neighboring barriers is order 1. So they are well separated. They don't talk to each other. And assume that the gradient of a potential is order 1 except at the barrier. So you have nice potential, but at the barrier, V has jump. Okay. And the barriers are mutually independent. So those are the assumptions. All right, so basically, well, away from the barrier, we assume that things are classical. Okay. Just solve the Liouville equation. But you have to, the Liouville equation is not good equation at the barrier because at the barrier, well, V has a jump, but this is a delta function. So you have a linear transport equation with a coefficient that's a measure value. And you do not know how to define solution for this kind of problem. So to avoid this difficulty, we introduce the following interface condition. Basically, the interface condition reflect the transmission and reflection of the waves. Okay. So because here, the interface is quantum, it's a quantum barrier. So the quantum, if it's classical particle, then the particle either transmit or reflect. But if it's a quantum barrier, and the waves can be partially transmitted or partially reflected. So this interface condition is supposed to reflect that. So we have a Lagrangian version and an Eulerian version. The Eulerian version basically, suppose you consider the particle moving from left to the right. So this density diffusion on the right side of the barrier, which is denoted by plus, is a linear combination of the reflected part. So this is a reflected part, so R is a reflection coefficient, plus the transmitted part, where T is the transmission coefficient. And when particle reflect, of course, it just changes the momentum. P or velocity P becomes minus P. When particle transmit, of course, when particle transmit, they change direction, they change momentum. But the total Hamiltonian is conserved. So H is conserved across the barrier. From the conservation of H, the Hamiltonian, you can determine momentum on one side from the other side by this. So this basically means H minus equals H plus. That's how you determine the direction after the particle cross the barrier. In geometric optics, this is equivalent to Snell's law. Okay, so when waves hit the interface, it just changes direction. So this is basically equivalent to Snell's law. So that's the so this interface condition basically connect the two Liouville equation. Okay. And well, you can have also Lagrangian pictures, which says basically if your particle that's moving forward, hit the barrier, then part of the particle will be reflected, the other part will be transmitted. Again, reflection for reflection changes momentum. So the negative sign for transmission, you cross over with a different momentum, which can be determined by conservation of Hamiltonian. All right, so with this interface condition, we can solve this Liouville equation with a singular coefficient. So here is the Liouville equation where H, remember the H here, H is a kinetic equation, a kinetic energy plus potential. A potential is discontinuous. So here, the derivative of the continuous function is delta function. So this is a linear transport equation with a measure value coefficient. And you do not know how to define a weak solution. There has been a lot of work, especially in French, in the French school, where people have been studying linear transport with discontinuous coefficient. To do that, you have to use so-called renormalized solution, right, introduced by Dupont-Aliens. But that solution usually is not unique. But this problem is much harder than that, because this here is more than discontinuity, it's a derivative of discontinuity. So clearly, this Dupont-Aliens theory cannot apply here. Okay. So here we give a notion of solution. Basically, we solve this equation, we use this equation away from the interface, but we connect this to the Liouville equation at the interface by this interface condition. So we, instead of using this, Dupont-Aliens theory, we induce a solution by adding this interface condition, which allow us to pick up a unique solution. Now you can prove the initial value problem is well posed. Well, you also actually, cross barrier, you also have a Hamiltonian. If you have a particle method, okay, Hamiltonian, based on this Hamiltonian system, and then you also have difficulty because this Hamiltonian system is an ODE, the right-hand side is a delta function. Called the classical theory for ODE, to solve ODE, for where posedness of the initial value problem, you want the right-hand side to be Lipschitz continuous. Of course, you can relax that by using the Dupont-Aliens theory. You can relax the right-hand side to be discontinuous, or BV. But this is worse than that, because the right-hand side is delta function. It's a derivative of BV function. So again, I mean, this Dupont-Aliens theory cannot be used to solve this singular Hamiltonian system. And here, again, this issue of the notion of solution. And here, I'm going to introduce a notion of solution to this singular Hamiltonian system.
So here's
a difference
in time or
in space. So this is a discontinuous function of x, it's like delta of x. So here I will introduce a notion of solution to this singular Hamiltonian system. So this is what I do. I actually introduce a probabilistic solution to this deterministic problem. Okay. So I start with initial data and just solve the Hamiltonian system using your favorite Hamiltonian scheme, symplectic scheme, whatever, along the cutter. Everything will be fine until you hit, before you hit the barrier, everything is fine because it's a smooth Hamiltonian. Now at the barrier, the classical ODE solver doesn't work, I mean, right? So here I introduce a Monte Carlo solution here. Basically, remember we have this transmission coefficient, reflection coefficient. Those are real positive and the summation equals 1. So now with probability R, I let the particle reflect, okay? I change P to minus P. With probability T, I let it reflect, I let it transmit, which means the particle is going to cross over, but with a new direction, new momentum. And the new momentum is determined by conservation of Hamiltonian. Okay? If it's a classical particle, well, even for classical particle, this solution is not defined. For classical particle, basically, it's either transmit. If the momentum is not big enough to overcome the barrier, it just transmit. R equals 1. And this thing is either 0 or 1 for classical particle. Okay? Then we either transmit it or transmit or reflect. But for waves, you usually have partial transmission reflection. Now, with this portion of wave will be reflected, this portion of wave will be transmitted. So, with this definition, this of course is exactly the analog of this Laurent picture with this interface condition. So, this is a Lagrangian version of that. With this, actually, first I define, now I define a solution to the singular Hamiltonian system. Number two, I also introduce a new particle method. It's a Monte Carlo particle method, which is a Lagrangian way of solving this Liouville equation, right? This is basically the characteristics of the Liouville equation, okay? So we have a new particle method. And actually, we have both deterministic and the Monte Carlo version. What I just said is a Monte Carlo, but if you assign this weight to the particle density, then you kind of split the particle into two, then we also have a deterministic particle method. All right, so those are the mathematical notions of solution to these singular problems, yes, Jose? Oh, that's a good question. Well, it depends on applications. For different waves, you have different refraction transmit coefficients. For example, for a Schrodinger equation, this is a standard exercise in quantum mechanics. The density function and the derivative is continuous across barrier. And from that condition, you can determine this scattering matrix. From there, you get this coefficient. So this actually is a monoscale coupling here, this interface condition. Pardon? Yeah, for general case, you can solve it numerically. We will do that later. Okay. So here, this interface condition actually, well, F of course is a particle, it's a macroscopic, but these things are, if you want to quantum barrier, of course, these are microscopic. Because for classical particle, this is either 0 or 1. But if you want to simulate quantum tunneling, no matter how strong the barrier is, I mean, it's always a tunneling, then of course, these are between 0 and 1. So you have to determine this quantum mechanically, right? Although F is classical, but this information is quantum. All right, so how do we implement this idea? Actually, it's very simple. So remember, we assume the barriers are very thin, so therefore we can, inside of the barrier, we can solve a time-independent Schrodinger equation with this energy to get this transmission reflection coefficient. For special potential, you can solve it analytically. For general potential, you can solve it numerically. There's some method that can allow you to do that. So you kind of, in the pre-processing step, we get this scattering information, you save it there. Afterwards, you just solve this Liouville equation with this interface condition. And the interface condition, of course, has to use this quantum scattering information. So that's it. So this quantum step is pre-processing. But the time marching is completely classical. So the cost, computation cost is classical. Okay. So the question, how do you determine those coefficients? Well, this is standard. In one, you can use this transform matrix method. For example, if you have a, suppose you have general potential that looks like this, so you have classical zone here is quantum. Okay. So you send a wave into this barrier, then part of the wave will be reflected, the other part will be transmitted. Similarly, Simpson happens if you have an instant wave of V2. So for general potential, you can approximate general potential by a piecewise constant potential. that for each of the step function, well, this is just simple exercise of quantum mechanics, you can find a scattering matrix for a step function. And then, of course, to determine the scattering matrix for this problem, you have to multiply all scattering matrix, which is given by this S. Okay? So this method is called a transfer matrix method. All right, of course, these are complex values. And to determine this R and T, so R is just the reflection coefficient, is reflected current density over the incident current density. Whereas transmission coefficient is transmitted current density over incident current density. So that's it's given here. So that's how we find this T and R. And now once you have T and R, now that defines the interface condition. Now we can solve the Liouville equation with that interface condition. So how do we solve that? Actually, the idea is very simple. So basically, solve it by some finite volume method. Okay, so df dx is approximated by some finite volume. So let's define this. This is cell average, so just typical finite volume. So normally, you can use just upwind scheme. If p is positive, the wave comes from the left. If p is negative, it comes from the right. Normally, you can define this flux using upwind scheme. But at the interface, we have to do it differently. Okay. So the basic idea here is we build in the interface condition into the flux, into the numeric flux. Okay. So this is how we do it. It's very simple, actually. So the flux, now at the barrier, the flux can be discontinuous. So that's why we call F plus and F minus. This flux is exactly how they define the interface. So F plus is the reflected part, reflection coefficient times F, which now the momentum has to change size minus J. Assume that the momentum is even distributed, okay, change J, that's the reflection. And this is the transmission, so you use F from the other side, from the X minus side. But with the momentum now, you start with P, P, but this has to be Q, but Q connect with P by this constant Hamiltonian condition. So now, once you move to the other side of the barrier, then for these two things, you can use upwind. Okay. So this is like a generalized upwind. Okay. One upwind direction comes from transmission, the other one comes from reflection. So when you use the, usually for upwind scheme, if you define the flux here, if the wave comes from the left, you take use the cell average on the left-hand side. But now, because of transmission, you use cell average on the left-hand side, but you have to change the momentum. Okay, you have to use different Q. Well, same for the reflected part. For the reflected part, you use cell average from the right cell, but you have to change P to minus P. So it's kind of generalized upwind scheme. So this is exactly the interface condition. We now put that into the flux. Once you define a flux, you forget about it. You can use this flux everywhere, actually, because when the V is continuous, then the flux becomes continuous, and R and T are basically 0, 1. You reduce the upwind scheme. So you can use this flux everywhere. It automatically take care of the interface condition. And well, when these are between 0 and 1, you can prove that this is L1 stable or whatever. You can prove a theorem like that. Okay. And the CFL condition, standard CFL condition. All right, so here let me show you some numeric examples. So suppose I have step function V, it's a 1/2 times Heaviside function. So the jump is at x equals 0. So we have an instant wave come from the left. This is the solution of the Schrödinger equation. So this is the transmitted solution, that's a reflected solution. And this direction is the direction of epsilon goes to 0. Okay. So as you can see, when epsilon goes to 0, so this is density distribution, eventual solution, this is the caustics. And the caustic density actually blows up. It's a delta function. So this is a Schrodinger solution for different epsilon, 1 over 200, 1 over 800, 1 over 3200. So this is the semi-classical model. As you can see, we pick up both the reflected transmitted wave and the reflected wave with the right caustics here. But of course, we miss all the oscillations because the delta x is much bigger than wavelength. So you do not get oscillation, but you get this average right. Okay. And well, this is a potential that's typically used in resonant tunneling in semiconductor device deep simulation. So for this one, we use the transfer matrix method to compute the transmission reflection coefficient. So this is a solution of Schrodinger equation. So that's a transmitted wave, this is a reflected wave. But you see lots of oscillations here due to resonance. So this is our solution from our semi-classical model. As you can see, we get both transmitted wave and reflected wave right. Of course, here we miss all the oscillations, but you superimpose this part here, then you can see we miss, although we miss the oscillation, but we get the weak limit, the average current. That's different resolution, different delta x, so to show it converges. Okay. So this is one, dots are 100 grid points, and the other one 3200 grid. Yeah. So it just it, to show numeric convergence. All right, yes. What?
The momentum of the transmitted part will not be in the grid, not because you computed.
Will not be in the grid?
In the grid of implementation.
No, it's oh yeah, we solved the wave equation, so it's we have grid in both x and p. Right? We solved the wave equation.
So what I mean is the I think it's the q with your notation of the transmitted part computed by saying that the Hamiltonians are equal.
So yeah, yes.
So
it will not be what?
So how do you...
how to get the... So at the interface, we have this condition, h plus equals h minus. From here, you, of course, you can decide p minus square plus v minus equals 1 half p plus square plus v plus. So if you know the jump of v, if you know p on one side, you solve for p the other side. So that's basically a Snell's law, actually, in geometric optics.
No, I think your question is, what happens if this continuity does not overlap, it's not like exactly at a grid point, and how do you deal with it?
Well,
you mean if the interface is not at a grid point?
Rather the momentum of the transmitted part.
Oh, yeah, sure. I will be the detail. If this is at the one grid point, then from the algebra, this one may not be.
Yeah,
then you do some linear interpolation. You have to do it.
Sure.
Of course. I didn't talk about these little details. Of course, you have to interpolate. Yeah, it's standard stuff. All right, so that's in 1D. And in 2D, of course, it's a little bit more complicated because in 2D, the transmission and the refraction can go all directions. Okay, so it's non-local. So this, now this interface condition, of course, is going to be this integration. So if you have the incident wave becomes an outgoing wave with a reflect. Refraction coefficient now depend on angle, not only depend on the momentum and also angle. Angle is from minus pi of 2 to pi of 2, and this is the transmission, this is the transmitted part. So so that's the basically conservation of Hamiltonian. Well, the idea is still same, okay. Basically, now to initialize, you have to solve time independent Schrödinger equation in 2D. You need to calculate this transmission refraction coefficient for each angle and each momentum. So you build a table there, and then you just call this table for the interface condition. So you do that as a pre-processing, then you solve the wave equation with interface condition with the coefficient that you already calculated in the pre-processing step. So how do you compute this transmission coefficient? Because it's non-local, it depends on angle, how to do it. So this is how we do it. It's also this is standard in physical literature. So suppose let's consider now that the barrier is in the y direction, so you have classical, and quantum. So of course the scattering S depends on theta, and the momentum is the theta component flux scattered across the interface over in the instant flux. All right, so suppose I have an instant wave. This is an instant wave. So you have an instant wave from the left, then it forms on the side y is a wave function on at C1, so I consider the incident wave plus the reflected wave. While psi 2 is the wave transmitted into C2, that's given by, this is a T is the transmission transmit coefficient times this. And then, of course, the reflection coefficient, transmit coefficient, is the ratio given here. It's, so once you have this T and R, then you can compute R. Capital R, capital T like this. But of course, the difficulty is to how they find this R and T. So how they find these coefficients? You have to find it by solving the Schrödinger equation. So this, we do that by so-called a quantum transmitting boundary method. So So basically, this is what you do. So you have solved the Schrodinger equation now in 2D with the interface collision at this barrier. And the right interface collision here, of course, is that the flux, the wave function has to be continuous. And the derivative of the wave function is continuous. So that's the standard interface condition. Okay. And well, first we have to eliminate this coefficient r and theta. So there's some numeric procedures. Convenient way to do that is to first we take Fourier transform on y variable. So here we assume the barrier is in the y direction. So take Fourier transform on y variable, and you also take Fourier transform on y variable on the interface condition, this matching condition. Then of course, in C1 and C2, the Fourier representation of psi 1 wave function here and the wave function there has this form. And then with this matching condition here, you can eliminate this coefficient S1, S2, then you end up at the Robin boundary condition for psi hat at these two points. That basically solve Schrodinger equation in Q with these two Robin boundary conditions. Okay. So that's a quantum transmitting boundary method. Once you solve that, then you once have WQ, then this R and theta are just given by this. Okay. So of course you have to do this for each P and theta. But that's all pre-processing. So once you have that, then you solve. So once you have this coefficient, then you solve the Liouville equation. You can solve it easily by Eulerian method, just find a difference to solve the Liouville equation, or you can solve it by particle method. Which, so let me show you an example. So this is a 2D example. We have a barrier which looks like it's a glass. This is the initial data that's the instant wave. All right, let me show you. This is my Hollywood movie. Now, this is a quantum simulation, so epsilon is very small, 1 over 400. All right, so let me start. So you see, okay, so you see the outside are reflected wave, and you have some surface wave. Look at the inside. All right, so what we plot here is the position density. So this is the first time you have formal caustics, so position density follow up. You get lots of oscillations. I mean, these waves are secondary refraction because waves tunnel through this barrier, get in, and can also tunnel through out. So these are secondary transmission. And let's continue. Whoops. Fast. Do it again. So these first caustics that you just saw, let's continue. Lots of oscillations. This is second caustics. Okay. Well, because numerical resolution eventually, I mean, we have more numerical viscosity eventually. I mean, the peak is not as high as the first one. But anyway, so that's a short quantum simulation. Okay, continue. All right, so this is a semi-classical model. All we do is we solve the Liouville equation with this T and R, that's quantum. So same barrier, same initial data. And if you have a reflected wave outside, and look at the inside. So this is first caustics. Of course, now we do not have any oscillations because we do not resolve the wavelengths. Okay. But okay, this is second peak, second caustics. So the time of caustics are correct. Okay. All right, so that's the semi-classical model. If you don't use this quantum scattering, okay? If you treat it as a particle, see what happens. So this is just classical. If you just stick to a classical model, you have a reflection outside. Look at the inside. And there's nothing inside. So the barrier is very strong, so the momentum of the particle is not big enough. So there's no tunneling. The particle just bounces back. This is another example where it's called diffraction grating. So the potential is oscillatory, periodic oscillation looks like this. In a very thin zone, x is between minus epsilon and epsilon. So this is the barrier, okay? This wall is the barrier, so this is the instant wave. So this is semi-classical solution. So here the barrier, you have a reflected wave on one side and transmitted wave on the side. You see we have three bumps here. And now compare with the solution of Schrodinger equation with epsilon is 1 over 800. So this black circle is the level set of a position density of semi-classical solution, while fill in the red is the Schrodinger solution, we filled in. So this is the barrier. they form three bumps. And there's some, of course, some numeric error due to, that's a really discretization error. All right, so that's the first model, okay. Now remember this, the title of the workshop is entropy, so now I need at least to talk about entropy in one slice. So one problem with that model, actually, is that it actually introduces some entropy. Remember we have this Monte Carlo idea. So a particle at the barrier becomes a wave. Once it becomes wave, you have partial transmission reflection. So for example, here I give them, this actually makes things time irreversible, this Monte Carlo method. This example shows why. So you start with particle with density 1. Suppose with probability 1 half, each is transmit or reflect. So after some time, you have one particle with density 1 half, the other particle density 1 half. Now I reverse this process. I start with two particles, initially each with a density 1 half, and go back, okay? And when they go back, well, this one here, of course, is split into two, each with 1/4 of mass, same for the other one. So you end up with the initial solution, which is 1 half here and 1 half there. So it's kind of irreversible. The reason is because it's Monte Carlo, you add this probability solution, really add some diffusion. So there's some entropy here, entropy actually increases. The reason this happens is really because we cannot handle the interference. So this partial transmission is really a wave phenomena, and the wave can interfere. If this was 0 and 1, this would never happen. If it's a classical particle, this model is time reversible. Okay? But for partial transmission reflection, it's no longer time reversible. So the reason is we do not handle the interference. Let me show examples how things can go wrong. So this model is actually decoherent. So we handle a potential is delta function plus a harmonic oscillator. So here we have a harmonic oscillator, you have delta function over here. So we have instant wave comes from here, it hit this barrier, it's going to split. Okay. So the top one is the quantum Schrodinger solution, the second one is our semi-class solution. Let's play. You see our oscillation in the Schrodinger solution, it's split, transmission, reflection. Now you see they are different. As you can see, I mean, they are very different, right? I mean, here, there's nothing here, but this model has two waves. The reason is that this wave, when you come back, it interferes at the barrier. And this model clearly ignores this interference. All right, so now we have a new model which can handle this interference. Okay. So this new model we call the coherent model. The idea actually is very simple. Remember in the previous model, we use the real Liouville equation. And when you pass the semi-class limit, you lose the phase information. Okay, it's real. I mean, it's not complex. The coherent model actually is based on complex Liouville equation. Why we are complex? Because we want to keep some phase information. Okay. You need a complex function. So this is how the wave, for showing the solution, if you have an incoming wave hit the barrier, then you have reflected wave and transmitted wave. The same for from the other side. So the matching condition of at the barrier give you this density matrix. Okay. So this is a scattering matrix, and this coefficient are actually complex value from quantum mechanics. This S is complex value. Of course, in the previous model, we make this thing real, but the idea is we're still going to solve the Liouville equation, but now at the interface, I'm going to take the scattering matrix directly from quantum mechanics. I'm not going to make it real. I just use quantum, exactly the original scattering matrix, which is a complex value. Now this interface condition, of course, make phi complex value. Okay. So now phi still solves the relation between phi and the original f. The initial data is this new phi is the square root of f. Okay. And if f solves the Liouville equation by master characteristic, this phi still solves the Liouville equation, same Liouville equation. Now, because the interface condition is complex value, so phi actually is complex value. So this Liouville equation is complex value for Liouville equation. Now you just solve this equation with this interface condition, and you take the modulus phi squared, you get the f. That's a real f. So its idea is very simple. The reason that the interference is important is the following. So these are linear waves. Solution can be linearly superimposed. So if you solve a real Liouville equation, you have two waves, you just add f1 and f2. But for complex value function, you have two complex values. the modulus of this square, beside this linear superposition, you also have this cross term, which is exactly the interference. Okay. And you're missing this in the real Liouville equation. But now with complex value, we are able to pick up this term. So that's the idea. All right, now I use this new model. I still do the same problem. Now the bottom is this new semi-collapsed model, coherent model. Well, we still missed oscillations, but now you see, no matter how many periods you repeat, you always get the same solution. All right, well, of course, you can say this may be a special example. Now let me try another example. So now the V is, we do not need the barriers to be separated by all the one. So now I consider two barriers, two delta functions. They are separated by a distance L, where L is like 10 times epsilon. Okay. So we have basically two single barriers. Well, so we have these two barriers, each of them delta function, separated by 10 times epsilon. So now if you use the first model, which is a single barrier model, in the first model, we treat this as a single barrier. We compute a scattering matrix across this whole barrier, then solve the Liouville equation. If you do that, so here I'm going to have two colors here. The red one is the quantum solution. The black one is the first model, classical model, semi-classical model. You see the oscillations in Schrodinger's. All right, so this red is the Schrodinger solution. So you have a resonance inside these two barriers. Okay. As you can see, this black line, this decoherent model already gives the wrong information. And also these waves that get trapped between two barriers. Why this semi-classical? Because we treat it as a single model, you miss this trapping. So the solution is wrong here, inside barrier. Outside is also wrong. Oops. That's the picture we just showed. So as you can see, you get very bad solution. All right, now if you do the decoherent model, still the old model, you can say, okay, well, I was wrong because I treated it as one single barrier. Now what happens, I still use the first model, but I treated it as two separate barriers, okay? But now notice these two separate barriers are not very, very separated. They are 10 times epsilon. They are still very close. So I do it as two barriers. So basically I solve the Liouville equation outside and also solve the Liouville equation inside between these two barriers. Then I apply scattering coefficients independent on these two barriers. So now see what happens. All right, still the still not right. Okay, the average, the trapped waves, of course, you get the wrong density and outside is wrong. So it cannot handle, the first model cannot handle case when two barriers are close. So this is the new models. This new coherent model, still we treat it as two thin barriers. So we have classical, but for each barrier we use this quantum interface condition. Now look at the even inside. Well, outside looks right, it's average. Even the inside is trapped away, you get the right average, even inside the barrier. And we'll continue. So it looks like we're doing quite a good job here. Okay. All right, so to conclude, so we have constructed a decoherent model and also a coherent model for thin quantum barriers. We haven't worked on wide barriers, which is the next step. But so far they work fine for thin barriers. And we can compute correctly the partial transmission reflection and also phasing information. Second model can even deal with phasing information across barrier. And the cost of the combination is basically classical because we calculate the scattering matrix as a pre-processing. You store it, and once you start time marching, you do everything's classical. So cost is basically classical. But we are able to handle this quantum tunneling things like that. But by the way, I mean we still do not have theoretic justification. It will be very interesting to prove this is the right model. But it's very difficult because you're talking about semi-classical limit with a discontinuous potential. That's of course very difficult subject. And also we are interested in extending to more general barriers. In particular, when the barriers are not seen, I mean, they're white. There, in that case, you have to, then the quantum mechanic process is no longer pre-processed. You have to do it every time step. But still, this coupling still saves you a lot because you only have to solve quantum mechanics locally. All right, so that's all. Thank you.